bit, and then the first one we're going to after that, Proverbs, is 1 Samuel 19. Just give you a heads up. So Proverbs 18, if you're there, say amen. Proverbs 18. Amen. There you go, Tony. I was waiting for that. Say amen when you're there. Proverbs 18, verse 24, last verse in the chapter. You all there? I want everyone to see it. You see it? It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I know his name. His name is Jesus. So it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So there is a prerequisite for having a friend. Amen. If you're going to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Look over with me, if you would, in Proverbs 17, right across the way. In Proverbs 17, look in verse 17. Proverbs 17, 17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I wrote next to my Bible there, born again. You get a born again brother. Why? For adversity. One that can be with you through it all. But I want you to think about, a friend must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I just have a question. Do you have what it takes to be a friend? If a friend must show himself friendly, and a friend loves at all times, it takes some work to be a friend. So do you have what it takes to be a friend? And do you have what it takes to have a friend? And for you to have a friend, it takes something. And for you to be a friend, it takes something more. And I want to look at Proverbs 27 with me. Proverbs 27. In verse 9. I'm sorry. Verse 9 and 17. Verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Look what it says. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. You see, I'll tell you right now, it's a friend that will pick you up. It's a friend that will pick you up when you need to be picked up. It's a friend that will pick you up literally in the middle of the night if your car breaks down. It's a friend that will help you move. It's a friend that will help you go to the store. It's a friend if you're sick will come over and bring you chicken noodle soup. Real friends. Amen? Look what it says. Look what it says after that. It says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off. I have a brother that's far off. He's up in the woods somewhere. We all have family members that really are far off. My sister's brother, like, you couldn't be farther apart than my sister. I'm sorry. My wife and her brother. Just so far apart. And maybe some of you are like that. You say that you're the youngest of seven? She's the youngest of seven. Amen. Yeah, amen. You're the oldest of seven? Amen. How about that? Well, anyway, and Carl, yeah, her brother is the oldest of seven. Big difference between two. How many years between the two of you, age-wise? How about you, Tam? You and you,
probably like
17. Yeah, amen. It's when he was out of the house when she was born, so she was kind of like didn't even know him. You know, yeah, he was already out. Look in verse 17 with me. Look in verse 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know what the God's trying to tell us something here? He said, to be a friend, you need to be something. To have a friend, you need to have something. Amen? You need to have something and to be something, to be able to give something. And I'll tell you right now, a friend loveth at all times. Do you have that ability to do that? It says a friend must show himself friendly. Do you have the ability to show yourself friendly to someone else? Why? Because I feel friendly? No, because that person needs a friend. That person that is counting on you to pick them up. That person that is counting on you to be there for them. That person that's counting on you. You know what I mean? And to have somebody depend on you. It's kind of like a parent. And you have that build that special bond with a friend that you know you can count on. I'll tell you right now, Jesus is the greatest friend you could ever have. Amen? And a friend will stick up for you. A friend will stick up for you. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 19 with me. 1 Samuel 19. Friends ought to stick up for each other. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Thank you, guys. A friend ought to stick up for each other. I heard this long time ago, pastor, years and years, 30 years ago, talking about it, saying that if I ever hear anybody talking bad about you, I will tell them to shut up. Don't you dare talk bad about my friend. Well, first of all, you don't even know if it's true. It's hearsay, right? But so what? Give your friend the benefit of the doubt. Amen? If you're really a friend, tell that person, don't talk about my friend like that. I say that to my kids all the time. Whenever they say they don't like a food. Don't I say that? I'm like, and I start getting like pretending I'm getting mad at them. I'm like, they're like, what? I said, broccoli's my friend. Don't you dare talk bad about broccoli. And I like joke around and I stick up for the things that I love. Amen? I'll stick up for them. Well, if you had a friend, we should stick up for our friends. We should. You know why? Because God wants you to. And you know why? Because they need you to. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Samuel 19, verse 4 and verse 5. It says, and Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul, his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he's not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee were very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistines. And the Lord brought a great salvation for all Israel. And you saw it. And you did rejoice. Wherefore then will you thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? This is Jonathan, David's friend, real friend, sticking up for David to the king, his father, when his father went to kill him. And look what happens. And Saul hearkened under the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swear, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Sounds great, right? Look right down in verse 9. It says, and an evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. David's playing music for him. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with his javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped the night. Here, it should cost you something to have a friend. Sticking up for your friends might cost you something. It might cost your job. It might cost your maybe your reputation. It might cost you something. And Jonathan had something really seriously to worry about. And I want you to, God bless you. Look with me if you would in chapter 20 and look in verse 31. Chapter 20, verse 31, it says, not far from, and it says in verse 31, for as long, and this is Saul talking to his son Jonathan again, for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, wherefore? He said, why shall he be slain? What has he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. See, he was sticking up for his friend David against his father, who happens to be the king, and his father, it almost cost him his life. It almost cost him his life, it almost cost him his crown, it almost cost him everything, sticking up for your friend. So it takes something to be a friend. Amen? What are you willing to stick up for your real friends for? And I just want you to think God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And he wants us to be real friends. And I'll tell you what, we need real friends. And I want to be a real friend to you, and I'd love you to be a real friend to me. But let's just really think about it. Do we have what it takes to be a friend? And do we have what it takes to have friends? Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. Because we had, here we saw David, he had a friend on his side. And you know what a friend is called that goes a go-between? You ever have, Anton, two people mad at each other and they needed a go-between? Yeah, you know, I know you did. That's why, how many times? A lot. They needed somebody to step in and be a go-between. And whether you know it or not, Jesus is our go-between. The Bible says he's our advocate with the Father. Look with you would with me in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And he says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have a friend with us standing in the gap for us. We have a friend that's like Jonathan and Saul saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, have mercy on them. Father, that's my friend. Father, that's my friend. And the Father's wrath is appeased, and God is not angry. Why? Because we have an advocate. We have a friend, a real friend that's always on our behalf, Joe. He's always standing up for us. You know why he can do that? Because he was us. He knows what it's like to be a man. He knows what it's like to be forsaken by all his friends. He knows what it's like to be hurt. He knows what it's like to be left alone. He knows what it's like to have pain and suffering. And he knows what it's like to have nothing. And he knows what it's like to be us. And he knows the emotions. Imagine the emotions Jesus must have felt and kept them in control. He was human, you know. He was human. He had all the emotions you had. He just could keep it in control. And so he knows better than anyone. And it's so good to know that I have a friend, an advocate with the Father. Amen? Isn't that great? Turn with me, you would, to John chapter 15. John 15. Do you have what it takes to be a friend? John chapter 15. Look in verse 12 with me. Let me know when you're there by saying amen. I hear you, Tony. Anyone else there yet? Girls, you there? Let me hear you say amen. All right, there you go. Look in verse 12 with me. It says, this is my commandment, Jesus is talking, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a tall task right there. Just right there. Just take that one verse. Jesus said, I'm commanding you, Anton, to love everyone like I love them. Whoa. It takes something to be a real friend. Amen. Look what it says. Keeps on going. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You know, that's why we love the military. And that's why we honor the veterans. They go out and they lay their lives down. And it builds a camaraderie, a friendship when you know somebody's got your back, right? When someone's got your six. And you're going into battle and you got some battle-tested friends that you know they got your back. And that builds a bond, doesn't it? It builds a bond with other men that cannot be broken. Because they went into battle together and they knew that they could count on each other. I wonder if Jesus can count on us. I wonder if he can count on us. I want to be that friend that he can count on. I want to be that man. I want to be that person that you can count on me. And now, of course, I'll let you down, but I won't always let you down. You know what I mean? Of course, I'll mess up, but I won't always mess up. You know what I mean? But because I want to be that man where Jesus can say, that's my friend. Because he's my friend. No matter what I do, he's my friend. And I'll be honest with you, I had friends growing up, and I really thought we were tight until I got saved, and I found out they didn't care about me. I mean, they didn't even trust me, just turn your backs on you, you know? And then you have friends in the church just turn their backs on you. You know what I mean? It's like, everything can be understood, but at least be a friend and talk about it, you know what I mean? So when people just turn, Jesus knows all about people turning their backs on him. And that's why he'll never, ever do that. Look what it says. It goes on. It says in verse 14, it says, you are my friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you to do. Are you able to be a friend to Jesus? Verse 15 says, henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Jesus Christ is the friend of sinners. He's my friend. He's your friend. And whether you know it or not, he's always been there for you. He's got your back. He's never, ever going to be tired. Thank you, Jesus. He's never going to be busy signal. He's never going to be like, see that it's you and just not answer the phone. You know what I mean? He's always going to be there for you, Anton. Isn't that great to know that? And that's why it says friend sticks close to the brother. I want to talk to you quickly about a couple people, friends that we so-called had. In Judges chapter 14, verse 20, you can turn there if you want to or not. In Judges 14, 20, we have a little story, very little, about Samson. Remember Samson, real strong guy? Remember him? In Judges 14, verse 20, it says this verse, it says, but Samson's wife, now pay attention, Samson's wife was given to his companion whom he had used as a friend. His wife was given to one of his friends. Would a real friend take someone else's wife? No. And that's why it says He was given to his companion, whom he used as a friend. I think a lot of people use each other as friends, but they're not real friends. You know what I'm saying? Because a real friend would never do that, right? Let me tell you something else a real friend would never do. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 13. I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 12. Hold on. What's the one that I tell you? Yeah, 2 Samuel 13. And then 1 Kings 12. I apologize. 2 Samuel chapter 13. I want you to look at verse 3 with me. And when you get there, say amen. I hear pages. I'll wait. 2 Samuel 13, verse 3. It says this. You ready? It says, "But Amnon had a friend." Now, this is a really neat story. You can go back and look at it yourself. But here, Amnon was the son of David. He was the king's son, and he was in love with his sister, or should I say, in lust with his sister. He thought it was love. He felt lovesick, but it wasn't really love, was it? And what happened was, it says in verse 3, "But Amnon, he had a friend, Tony, whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him," look what he says, "why are you being the king? Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." It's his half-sister. And Amnon's friend tells him, says this, and you can go read it later. He says, "You're the king's son. If you want her, just take her." He said, "Do this." And he told him, "Pretend you're sick and lay in bed. And when your dad comes to see you, say, 'Could you please have Tamar make some of those honey cakes and bring them to me?'" And he makes his whole plan. And that's his friend. A real friend would never get you to sin. A real friend would never tell you to deceive your father, hurt your sister, hurt your family, or sin against God. You understand? It says Amnon had a friend. I'm telling you right now, you don't need friends like this. The other friend, Samson, was his friend. He used him as a friend. What happened? Yeah, he took his wife. And that's what happens, is we put faith and trust in people that we think are our friends, and they're not. They're not, because a friend would never do that. 1 Kings 12. Look in verse 6 with me. "And King Rehoboam," that is Solomon's son. He's now king in Solomon's stead. "And the king Rehoboam consulted with the old men," now listen when I say that, "that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived." These were his father, the king's friends and counselors. You understand? "Now this young man, he is now made king, and he calls his father's friends, and he brings them in, and he says to them, 'How do you advise that I may answer this people?' The people came to him and said, 'If you will be good to us, we'll follow you. If you'll like help us take some of the taxes off us or help us out a little bit, we'll all as a nation follow you.' So he goes to his counselors, the older guys and friends of his father, and he says, 'How do you answer me in this problem?' Look what happens. And they spoke unto him, saying," verse 7, "'If you will be a servant unto this people this day and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they shall be thy servants forever.'" Great counsel. You just got an anointed king, and the whole nation is coming before you saying, "What kind of king are you going to be?" And the folks were saying, "Serve them. Be a kind king. Talk good to them. Hear them out." And this is what happens. Verse 8, he says, "But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him, his friends." He went to his buddies, Tony, and he said, "Yo, guys, what do you think I should do?" And you can read it for yourself. They said, "Oh, man, they said that your father was tough. You should be much tougher. They said your father taxed them. Tax them harder. They said your father was hurting them. Hurt them bad. Don't let them be." And he said, "Yeah, that's what I'm going to do." And he listened to his friends, right? And he went and told that to the people, and the country split. And you had the 10 tribes of Israel and the 2 tribes of Judah. And that's the way it was all the way until the time of Christ. It ruined the entire country because he listened to his friends, so-called friends. Never get counsel from ungodly people. Never get counsel. Never get counsel from people that do not love Jesus. Please listen to me. I'll say it again. Never ask for counsel or advice from people that don't love God. You will never get the right advice. Go to the people that love God. Go to the counselors. And it says there's safety in many counselors. Go to people that you know love the Lord and ask them counsel. With that said, I want you to turn with me Proverbs. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 10 and we'll finish. But in Proverbs 27:17, we read it. And it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know what that tells me? Iron against iron. Sometimes a friend needs to be told straight up. Sometimes a friend needs to be told, listen, you're doing wrong. Listen, you're going down the wrong path, buddy. You cannot drink. You cannot do drugs. You cannot smoke and think you're going to make it. You can't hang out with that woman. You can't. I mean, you have to get counsel from somebody. A real friend should tell you. You know the old commercials of friends don't let friends drink and drive? Remember that? They take their keys. It's true. Back in the day, when I was young, nobody ever did that. They just let them drive. Drunk home, didn't matter. Then the commercials come out and people start thinking, yeah, I guess I shouldn't let Tommy drive. He's like sloth. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, you think? And that's why we need to really be friends with people. And I love the verse. I was going to have you read it. But it tells you, it says, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Why? Because you love them. And let them know. And the reason they'll listen to you is because they know you love them. And the reason they know you love them is because you've been a friend to them. You've been there for them. You know what I mean? You're not a phony friend. You're not a used friend. You're not a bad counselor. You're a friend that cares about them and loves them. And you need iron sharpeneth iron. Sometimes a friend needs a little back, something hitting back at them. Something hitting back at them, because you know, it sharpens each other. Amen. Let's finish with this. Hebrews chapter 10. Are you all there? Amen. Look with me in verse 24. As we finish, it says a friend must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticks close to a brother. We know who that is. And I asked you a question. Do you have what it takes to be a friend or even have a friend? It takes something to be a friend. Do you have what it takes? Jesus said, do unto others as they should do unto you. Be a friend to people even when they're not a friend to you. That's the hard part. It's easy to be a friend when they're being a friend to you. It's not as easy to be a friend when somebody's not being a friend back. And that's what Jesus did. You know, Judas came to Jesus by night and he kissed him on the cheek. And just Jesus said this, friend, he called him friend. Betrayest thou me with a kiss? Jesus never stopped being Judas's friend. Even when Judas betrayed him. Judas stopped being Jesus's friend the moment he betrayed him. But Jesus never stopped being Judas's friend. I want to be like Jesus. It's going to take something. It takes a little something to be like that, Jesus. Amen? Look what it says. It says, and let us consider one another to do what? Say the word. Provoke unto love and to good works. I'm telling everybody, don't be afraid to provoke your friends. Don't be afraid to provoke your loved ones. Because if you don't provoke them, it's a very good chance they're going to end up in hell. Amen? Amen? So provoke them to love because you love them. I know it causes arguments. I know they get mad at you. But I'd rather them know that I tried my hardest to provoke them to do the right thing than to just say, okay, do what you want. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Amen. Look, let's finish up. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? Good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. That's our church now and every church around. But it's as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I want you to realize that we need to be friends, real friends with people, and care about them enough to tell them the truth. Don't think they're your friends or you call them your... Do not think you can call them, that's my friend, if you don't provoke them to do right. Because the people that they'll think are their friends will provoke them to do wrong. They'll get them drinking. They'll get them running the wrong path. They'll get them smoking. They'll get them watching things they shouldn't watch and say, that's my friend. Trust me, that's no friend. And a real friend loveth at all times. And that's why I want you to realize we have a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. The fairest of 10,000s to my soul. Right, Brian? All the world forsake me, yet, and Satan tempt me sore, yet Jesus Christ. He's the one who loves me. He's my best friend. I hope he can be your best friend. But before we say amen, can you be a friend for him? Can he count on you? Can he call you at 3 o'clock in the morning? And you come help with a flat tire? Can he count on you to tell people about him? Can he count on you to be here on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights? You know what I mean? It takes something to be a friend. So don't just be a fair weather friend. Let's be a real friend. Let's pray. Father, I love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this small little study. I just pray that it meant something to us. I just pray you'd help us through it. Maybe we can go back and read the stories and the accounts of these people that had friends and led them down the wrong way. And about these people that are friends. We know the greatest friend of all is you. You love us, truly love us. You gave us your life for us. And now you're living in us to guide us and teach us and that we can have a good life. God, help us to be friends. Help us to be friendly. Help us to care about others. Help us to do what you said to do. Lord, we can't do anything without you, but we sure do want to be your friend. So I pray you look favorably down upon us tonight. I pray that you would look and see our hearts and know that we love you and that we'll do anything for you, Lord, because you do everything for us. Would you please bless us now as we travel home? Thank you for Marcy being here. Give her strength for tomorrow. Give her health and healing. Bless her heart and soul. Please be with Mary, Lord, and continue to bless Mary. And thank you for bringing her in. I pray, Lord God, you be with Donna and strengthen Donna and bless Donna and open her veins and her arteries, Lord, and help her to get healthy and strong that she may rejoice and praise you even more. Lord, I just pray for the children that you watch over them, protect them from all the evil that's out there. Help us as parents to be their friends, but we're not there to be friends. We're there to protect them. And help me, Lord, most of all, to love one another, to care for one another. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you so much.